Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, June 21st, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Jane Green. Jane has been a member of Mountain Brook Baptist for 30 years, and she is very active. In fact, I'm recording on Vacation Bible School Week, and she is working with the snack team. She'll tell you about more of her ministry opportunities at the end of the podcast. But first, we're so excited, Jane, that you'll read God's Word for us today.
Thank you very much for having me today. Our first passage is from Acts chapter 10, 1 through 23. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout, God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then the voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, these three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you are looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a religious and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guest. Today's second reading is from Leviticus 11, 1 through 8. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on land, these are the ones you may eat. You may eat any animal that has a split hoof completely divided and that chews the cud. There are some that only chew cud and only have a split hoof, but you may not eat them. The camel, though it chews the cud, does not have a split hoof. It is ceremonially unclean for you. The coney, though it chews the cud, does not have a split hoof. It is unclean for you. The rabbit, though it chews the cud, does not have a split hoof. It is unclean for you. And the pig, though it has split hoof completely divided, does not chew the cud. It is unclean for you. You must not eat their meat or touch their carcasses. They are unclean for you.
Thank you so much, Jane, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us and for serving this week at Vacation Bible School. I want to know a little bit more about you. Tell us where you grew up.
I grew up in the great state of Alabama in a small town, Jacksonville, Alabama, which is northeast Alabama. Jacksonville was a college town when I was growing and is today.
Growing Go Gamecocks.
Go Gamecocks, yes. And I grew up in a small community outside the city in a rural area. It was great growing up that way. Some of my roommates, as we were finishing high school, used to call us Mayberry. Because everybody knew each other. It was just a very small town at that time. And it was just great to grow up. There was a common bond about, and this was when I graduated from high school, it was in the late 60s, 1967. And it was a small class, but we just all grew up and loved each other.
Well, how did you come to faith? Did you grow up in a family of faith?
I did. Where we lived out in the country, Asbury Baptist Church was next door to our house. So we went to church when the church was open. I mean, basically, we went to church all the time. We did Vacation Bible School in the summer. In going to church on a regular basis during the summer where we have a week of revival, and I went to that every night, and I was so pulled. And it came to me, and it was almost like, I've got to walk the aisle. I mean, it was just heavy on my heart and my soul. And I had to walk the aisle, and I went up and accepted Jesus that night with the minister. I'll never forget it. I still can remember it very vividly. We did not have a baptismal inside the church. It was a very small church, so we were baptized in the creeks. So our minister, which was Pastor Wayne, there was about four or five of us that day that were being baptized, and everybody drove up to the creek, was a couple miles up the road, and he went through each individual. Again, I will never forget that as long as I live.
I really love creek or lake or river baptisms. That had to be wonderful. About how old were you?
I think I was 11, okay. As I remember 11.
Okay, so all the way from Jacksonville to Birmingham, how did you get involved at Mount Brook Baptist?
I moved to Birmingham in 1994. I had left my home and married a man who was at Fort McClellan, and we moved to California, which was his home in Pasadena. And after a number of years, my two daughters and I came back, and my brother and still does lives here, and he helped me relocate to Birmingham. So after living in Pasadena and Los Angeles, I wasn't comfortable. My children needed good schools, and Christine was in college studying physical therapy, and needed to be in Birmingham where she could be in a large university to accomplish that. So that was the reason, and I had a lot of family in Birmingham. So that's how I got here. And we came to Mountain Brook Baptist a couple of times, and Dr. Jim Mobies called me, and he said he would like to do a home visitation. So we made some coffee, made some tea. Christine and Erica made some snickerdoodles, and Jim Mobies walked in the house with his tall statue and his voice that I loved. And we sat there for an hour or two just talking about faith, talking about our family. And he looked at Christine and said, "Christine, this is about the best snickerdoodle I've ever had. Would you go get me one or two more?" And of course we did. And now he says, "Now I want you to come on back next week. We're going to talk about y'all joining the church." And that's how my faith got to Mountain Brook Baptist Church. I'll never forget him. And then Hoyt Wilson. I had a meeting with Hoyt telling me about all the ministries here and further educated me on Mountain Brook Baptist Church. So that's my faith.
Wonderful. Well, I'm so glad that Dr. Mabies made that home visit and he didn't give you a choice.
He does not.
Okay, now you are very involved with the wedding ministry here at Mountain Brook Baptist. What is your role and what do you like about working with couples?
I started this, I can't remember. I took over Martha Isom, who was the wedding coordinator at the time, asked me if I would step in for her. And that's when I started on the committee. And I learned a lot from Martha. And I still to this day, I said, we have this situation. What do you think? And she's still there. But the joys of that committee are all the wonderful first meeting, the excitement of the young people that are getting married. You can see the love in their eyes and in their hearts. And a lot of times I get to visit with the mom and the bride first, but sometimes the groom comes and I get to spend some time with him and get to know him. So it is a joy. It has been a true joy for, and a blessing in my life to have that opportunity to do that. And I want to continue it as long as I can.
Have there been any funny stories or nerve-wracking events that you might share with us about a wedding?
Well, we've had a couple of situations where they forgot their shoes.
Oh, no.
Or they forgot their jewelry. Stuff like that, and we're looking at our watches. Do you have time to go get that, or can we find someone that you can do that? So there's kind of a scurry of how to get that person. But yes, there's many, many joyous stories about each wedding is unique. I mean, everybody is very different with what they are looking for. Some do Holy Communion. That's probably the biggest joy right there. I've had a couple of weddings where they not only the couple does Holy Communion, but the whole congregation. And I, oh my. And then they use the kneeling bench that we use for Holy Communion and with the minister. And I probably those are two big joys right there for me and blessings.
Well, we're so grateful for your ministry and the ways that you do help couples in that process. Sometimes I like to ask about your devotional practices. How do you start your day or how do you connect with the Lord?
I start my day by when I open my eyes, I say, thank you, Lord, for this day, for waking up and the glorious day it's going to be. And then I say out loud, Psalms 18, I think it's 24, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Would you say that that is your favorite Bible verse, or do you have another that you really like?
I really like the one I just read, but one of my favorites is in Psalm 62:5, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him.
And then, do you have a favorite hymn or worship song that you could share with us?
When we all get to heaven, amen, when we all get to heaven.
What are some of your personality traits?
I love deeply. I am very attached to the word love, and I feel it very, very deeply. I'm also extremely fun-loving. I enjoy people tremendously. I enjoy interacting with people. It just makes my day when I get to perhaps help someone in the grocery store. I enjoy being social, having fun with good people. Being on the wedding committee, that brings me that kind of joy. I grew up as one of triplets, and I had very protective brothers, and I think they developed my personality traits with who they were because we were together so much. It was fabulous. The Lord blessed my mom and daddy to do that. They had raised three children first in their life, and they were gone and married, and then mom became pregnant with triplets. They thought she was having twins, but at the hospital, I came third.
Oh, goodness. So they didn't even know you were a part of the story.
Mm-mm. So this was in, the late 40s. Late 40s. So that was kind of not heard of in the state of Alabama. We might have been the first. I do not know history, but I know in the area I grew up in, we certainly were.
As I mentioned earlier, Jane is working with Vacation Bible School. Tell us what your team is doing and what you've seen this week or some of the joys that you've experienced.
Oh my, I've been working on the VBS ministry of our church for a number of years. I think I started out on it, and I don't remember what year, with being in a class with an assistant teacher. I think they were 2 or 3 year olds. And I remember Abby Rich was in my class, and she was just great. But we had a great time way back then. And then I gradually went into helping with the food, serving snacks, preparing snacks, planning snacks, purchasing, which Sharon Howard does for us, and then getting that ready. And we try and put a Bible verse on each snack every day.
You know, food is such a opportunity for us to find community. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that even in the kitchen, you ladies are finding community. Tell me about the importance of community in the faith.
Oh my goodness, yes. We have several of the ladies every day recite scripture, and they'll say, praise the Lord, and how well we have worked together and felt God's presence in there, because it was God with us getting all of this done. It's about 300 snacks per day. So by the time we do the lemonade, the blue Gatorade, and all of the snacks, and nobody gets stressed. I mean, we're just having a good time, and we're praising the Lord throughout that process. So it's a blessing. It's a joy.
Jane?
Yes.
Would you end our time together with prayer?
Yes. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for our church, our ministers, and all of the administrative staff that do such fabulous work for God's kingdom. Father, I praise you and I thank you for this congregation, Lord, and for all of the construction that's going on in our church to further praise you and thank you, Father. Most of all, Father, I want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in this precious name I pray. Amen.